Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to the original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast, brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. So welcome along to another Yellow Army Talker United podcast. We're in the car park at Sealhane and I have in my hand a piece of paper. This is a piece of paper. It's a note from Richard's mum that says that Richard can't come to the podcast today because he's poorly. So hopefully, Richard, you're feeling a little bit better now. That's the note. I'll put that away. So I'm joined by our old pal, Dave Thomas. Dave, thank you for joining me at short notice for the pod.
Pleasure. The early morning mist has lifted and it's now...
It's mist and mellow fruitfulness out here, isn't it? See, then it's autumn.
There is a bit of autumn in the air, isn't there?
There is. And we're sitting quite a long way apart, Dave, because you're not so well either. There's as Spike Milligan used to say, there's a lot of it about, isn't there?
Yeah. Or as he said on his gravestone, I told you I was ill.
So there are colds about. Yeah. So if we sound a bit
strange. I've just been talking to a couple of lads in there as well, and I said, look, I'm not going to stand next to you because I've got a cold. And they said, oh, there's loads of it about at the moment. I said, oh, that's a relief. It's not just me.
It's not just us. And in Gary's press conference in a minute, you're the man in the sink, aren't you? You're up the far end of the room.
I wasn't allowed to quarantine. Sit with everybody else. I was in the sink washing up the cups and saucers.
Absolutely. So we'll have a listen to Gary now. As I say, Sealhane is press conference day on a Thursday. He's very interesting on the subject of what he didn't see in the Wealdstone game, what he hopes to see in the Wrexham game, and just kind of what a big occasion it is up in North Wales. So let's go off and have a listen to Gary. We don't actually pick up the first question from Dom, but he's responding to a question about how things went up at Wealdstone on Saturday.
Well, as positive as we need to be, you know, we're never not positive going into a game. You know, we worked hard since the last game. There's a lot of things that we need to improve on, we know that, and you keep working on that. We had a good meeting straight after that game where we talked about what went well, what didn't go so well. We had a great start, you know, we got the goal and we had three great opportunities when Corey went through twice and Acer hit the post. And then that might have been a bit different. We might not have given them the opportunity to get at us in the last sort of like 15, 20 minutes. So the boys are positive, you know, once we pick the team, then those lads want to be in the team, they want to give it a go. And, you know, we're going to one of the form teams in the league. So you always enjoy doing that to see whether you can have improved enough from the week before to go and get a result at Wrexham.
You mentioned the early goal, and actually in the last three games up at Southend against Solihull and against Wealdstone, your team have actually got an early goal. So that's great if your team can continue to build on that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we've got to stop giving away goals, that's for sure. There's always reasons for letting in goals, and there's always reasons for scoring goals. So we do look at it extensively, and we pass that over to the lads. The lads are part of those discussions. So, you know, we're pleased with the way they've worked this week. And we also work on the mental side of things, you know, the mental fitness. And there's been a lot of that this week as well, because, you know, when you haven't won for a little while, then it can play on your mind. So we're having to try and use your word, as you said at the start, of that positive mentality to go out and not fear anyone, you know, not worry about the crowd that they have and the support that they have. We'll worry about our crowd enjoying it and their support that we will always get, and we'll get up at Wrexham, and we're grateful to them, and we want to try and give them something back for their efforts.
And if you talk about the mental side of the game, if your team can go there and get a result at Wrexham, you know, there's not going to be too many tougher tasks this season, are there?
No, it's a tough one. And, you know, of course, Reza Matez that goes on around it as well. And to be fair, they've, you know, it's not just Erasmus, they've put together a very strong squad, and they're proving how strong that is by, I don't think they've lost yet, and they certainly haven't lost yet at home.
And finally, Gaffer, you said about that you may need to sort of ring the changes a little bit regarding the squad. Has there been any progress on that this week at all?
We've got a couple in mind. There's one or two that we're talking to at the moment. So we're just, you know, wait and see. There's also one or two that won't be involved. Won't play through injury. So we're waiting to put all that information together in the next 10 minutes when you lot go, to just see, you know, what we've got available.
Has there been a special buzz about training when it's Wrexham? Because I mean, it's going to be a big crowd up there, tasty atmosphere, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you shouldn't be a footballer if you're not going to enjoy those big games. You know, they're like almost playoff games because of the atmosphere that's created. And what you're hoping is that the boys, you know, sink or swim. We need them to swim, and we need to see where a few of them are in their mental states as to whether they can produce their best game in that type of atmosphere.
Because they had the two American owners, didn't they, over the last time you played up there, and of course you support the party on that occasion. That has to be the goal again this time.
Yeah, and they didn't give us a lot of room on that day to warm up, did they? There was like more people on the pitch than in the stands, and I understand that. And it was, Connor scored the goal. Then he later on, he did spoil, you know, pop their balloon a little bit. But maybe they'll hold that against us. But we'll go there, and you know, I want us to compete. I want us to show that, you know, we can play more than what we've shown in the last couple of weeks.
Is it good, all this razzmatazz? I mean, it brings a lot of razzmatazz. Good word. It's getting in every week.
Razzmatazz.
But is it good, do you think, for the National League? I think clubs like Wrexham and, you know, these Hollywood owners.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great publicity. I mean, you know, I think as the clubs get bigger and stronger, and you know, things like the streaming, you know, the Wrexham board and hierarchy, you know, they've put it forward, and it's a great idea, the streaming. I think, you know, for some away supporters that can't make it, can see the games, then they can make their own opinions as opposed to listening to your boys' opinions.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's the strangest leagues now, isn't it? Because you've got clubs who appear to have League One budgets, you've got other clubs that have got National League type budgets, and one or two really small clubs as well. How easy or difficult is it to go from, you know, Wrexham 1 week, I won't name a team, but, you know, a really big team 1 week to a rather small one the next?
It's the National League, isn't it? You know, you don't think about that. You can't. You've got to go into every game looking to enjoy it for a start, looking forward to it, because, you know, every game that we play is an opportunity for us, opportunity for an individual, opportunity for our club, and that's important to us. So wherever we play, on whatever type of pitch we play, we might have a little moan about it after, but we certainly wouldn't moan about it beforehand.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gary. Right.
You were a little bit critical after the Wealdstone game, certainly of the second half performance. What do you want to see from the players this week that you didn't see last week?
You want to see like more of the first half performance. You know, we got into their penalty area in the first half, we got into the final third, we broke lines, we got opportunities, which we hadn't had in a couple of games before that, not enough. And so at half time we said more of the same, because if we create another four or five chances, then we'd have a good chance. But we didn't create those chances, we didn't get up in that. They were a lot more lively than us late on. Obviously they were at home, they were 1-0 down, so they were going to throw caution to the wind, and we had to deal with that and give them a problem going the other way. So that's what we didn't do in the second half at Wealdstone. We didn't really give ourselves a chance to get a goal and go 2-0 up in the second half.
and you described the Wrexham atmosphere as being a bit like a cauldron out there. Do you look forward to that as a manager? We've talked about how the players might approach it, but you must look forward to a big game like that as a manager.
Yeah, as I say, when I lose that excitement about these big games, then I'll pack up. But I'm really looking forward to it. It is a good atmosphere at Wrexham because it's all round, you know, other than that one end that they're doing work with. But their support is loud, not just from one group of supporters, but like right round three sides of the stadium. And I don't know whether the big guns will be there in the stands this time, but if they're there, it even creates a bigger atmosphere, if you like. But it's a thriving club at the moment that are going for it, and we've got to go there and believe that we can pop their balloon again.
So Gary and the rest of the squad, I imagine, clearly looking forward to a trip to Wrexham. Who wouldn't, really? It's a big occasion, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I feel for United's travelling fans, and let's doff our caps to them at the moment. More than 200 at Wealdstone in current circumstances. And the cost of getting to these away games, you know, the United Travel Club, Mark Shepherd and his friends doing an incredible job keeping minibuses and coaches going when the cost of it is spiralling upwards. Yeah. I forget what the ticket to Wrexham and back is before you've even paid the 20-odd quid to get in.
Yeah.
Extraordinary loyalty and commitment to keep going. It's great when you're top of the league and you're going for a promotion and stuff like that. Everybody wants to go and there's a buzz about it. But you find out who your real friends are at times like this, don't you? And well done to them. I'm sure with United's away support up in the north of England, there'll probably be another 250, 300 at Wrexham, especially as you've rightly pointed out that it's one of those dates you ring in the calendar, isn't it?
It is. And we always did, to be honest. We always enjoyed a game with Wrexham, but they've got bigger in the last couple of seasons because of all, you'll have noticed a little bit of difficulty in pronouncing the word razzmatazz. I don't suppose there is a right way of doing it. But all the razzmatazz, the hullabaloo around Wrexham at the moment, which everybody finds a little bit tiresome. But
Unless you're a Wrexham fan, of course.
Yeah, it must be a great time to be. If you've gone through the last, 12, 13 years?
15 years.
Yeah. Of underachievement.
Well, and of out of the league. So it's 15 years since they came out of the league. So all the frustration that Torquay fans are, rightly feeling at the moment, is cranked up as well at clubs like Wrexham. Mm. You know, that they should be in the Football League. We all know that. Gary referred to in his little chat there to the streaming thing. Isn't it interesting that the National League Board, which has got all sorts of very pressing issues, number one being the fact that there's only two promotion places. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds only, it's probably a bit of a cheap shot, but only have to complain about the fact they're not allowed to stream their matches, and the National League Board leap into action. They're suddenly putting a plan together to do it. How long have we been banging on about two promotion places? You never hear a word out of
it. You don't.
They had a statement from the CEO after the annual meeting this summer saying, we don't conduct these negotiations in public. We do all this privately.
Yeah.
What an arrogant thing to say. In other words, they should be conducting it in private.
Yes,
they leave it. They leave this whole business of two up and of only two up to managers like Gary Johnson to keep banging on about it in public.
Yeah.
They should be putting the Football League under more pressure, saying and coming up with maybe some new ideas about how they tackle that issue.
Yeah.
But no, Wrexham is it's about money in the end. They've come in with a load of money. They're paying wages that Torquay's budget, and of course this is very pertinent to the situation of the club at the moment and where we are and you know what players they can afford, etc. Torquay's budget, I'm given to understand, is top half, just above top half of the league, which is about right in terms of their gates, you know, etc., etc., etc. So that gives a manager like Gary Johnson, with his experience and know-how, a chance to get them into the playoffs, hopefully with a bit of, you know,
bit of cleverness, jiggery pokery, here and there,
etc. Which obviously, you know, he did a couple of years ago, and you know, not far off it last year, etc., etc. But they are competing against teams. I mean, Solihull Moors the other week,
Yeah.
Three or four players in that team on 2,000 a week plus.
They're certain, yeah.
No wonder they can keep
our
their
highest
team
earners
together.
Are not like their
they're
highest
not
earners.
Exactly,
sorry, no,
yeah.
That's right.
So, and I know this isn't a message that is great to listen to for anybody, and we don't like sort of talking about it, no. Really, because it's boring apart from anything else. And it doesn't actually get points won on the board, but it is a factor. And United will go up on Saturday out at Wrexham, where they've got a pretty good record actually in the last few years.
Well, they had a fabulous draw up there last year.
And we've taken points off them at regular intervals over the last few seasons.
And I think this is one of those games where you wouldn't say it in Gary's porter cabin because it would be heresy, but everybody. We'd take a point.
Oh, yeah, so telling me, yeah, telling me. And getting back to Wealdstone last week, I thought it was very interesting. You know, I didn't go to Wealdstone. I was listening to the commentary, and I've obviously got lots of friends who were at the match, and you check up on how it went. And I listened to his comments afterwards, and I thought, whoa. I'd assumed he would come out and say, well,
I had,
good, at least we got a point, you know, great defence, you know, people putting their bodies on the line, etc. Not a bit of it.
He clearly wasn't a happy
bunny, was he? And he's referred to it in his chat today.
Yeah.
And when you do see the highlights, I can see what he means, and highlights are highlights, we all know that. I can see what he means, that United had chances on the counter in that first half, which they should have made more of. And if you go two up at a place like Wealdstone, you're going to take some pegging back, aren't you?
Yeah.
And the fact that obviously they didn't do that, but he was clearly very unhappy with the way United, not for the first time this season, disappeared as an attacking force in the second half.
Yeah.
And I think we all know the reasons for it. I think, you know, chatting to our old friend Paul Bastard, who was there as usual, you know,
he was on the commentary team, wasn't
he?
Yes,
he joined the commentary team last Saturday. And he was referring to the fact that there have been signs that young Kieran Evans had a reasonably good game.
Yeah.
And that Corey Andrews and Will Goodwin in bursts
they're
are starting to look
as if they're beginning to link up, aren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think we all know deep down the major problems in the team have been in midfield this season. Mm-hmm. We don't appear to be able to go at teams through midfield and passing at the pace that Gary Johnson teams do.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, Gary Johnson is an attacking football manager. His teams score goals, and lots of them usually. This is so you can imagine how this is paining him, at least as much as it is us, and that United seem to struggle to score more than one goal a game at the moment. And of course, the only time they've done it, which is at Southend, and they duly won 2-1. And Southend last week, apparently the Southend Wrexham game was exactly the same as the Southend Torquay match. Southend battering Wrexham, as they did Torquay. Wrexham came away with a 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
But does that mean anything for this Saturday? No, it certainly doesn't. Another day, another game.
Talk about midfielders, by the way. A lot of chat on social media overnight and this morning about a chap called Scott Smith from Wigan being a possible target. Now Gary's not going to tell us, I quite understand that. So that, you know, he said he's looking at players though, isn't he?
All the time, and he isn't the only one in at the moment either, on trial. They're trying very, very hard. Look, you can pick up under 23 players till you're blue in the face.
Yeah.
And United have picked up some pretty good ones over the last few years. You know, Armstrong, Duke McKenna last season. Although they take their little while to sort of get used to it. Well, you can pick up those players all the time.
Yeah.
They're not ready, or most of them aren't.
And they've played in this awful under 23 football.
Correct.
That is a completely different game to the
but
one that they'll
to get,
face.
To get those 26, 27, 28 year old lads who have played a few games, know what it's like, and have a much better chance of succeeding pretty quickly, they're harder to get. They're harder to get away from their clubs. Mm-hmm. They're harder to get down here. Gary was talking, wasn't he, at last week's press conference. I think we prompted him a little bit, that a lad that they'd picked up from Bristol.
Yes.
During the summer.
Yeah.
Ian Aaron.
Decent player as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brought him all the way down here. All the way. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Popped down to Torquay with him.
10 minutes. Yeah,
showed him all the facilities. Showed him the flat they've got lined up for him. Took him back to Bristol. Put him on the train. 48 hours later, expecting a call to say, yeah, right, I'll be down, and etc. Agreed terms. Money wasn't the issue. Rang up and said, I never realised how far west Torquay was of Bristol. I'm sorry, Gaffer, I'm not coming. It's too far away from home. And you go,
what, in this day and age?
Yeah,
and, it's just, this is a factor which, again, is such a...
Must be incredibly frustrating.
It is, but it is an issue, and I know we talk about it from time to time. We probably shouldn't from the public point of view, but Wayne Carlisle and Matt Taylor are dealing with exactly the same problems at Exeter. Yeah. They're in League One, and you have to hold your hat off to Plymouth. We were talking to Alan Richardson, our friend from BBC, just now, and he was quite rightly saying how well Argyle have done in their recruitment and signing.
They've made, they haven't made a duff signing, have they?
Doesn't look like it, does it? But sometimes it can go like that. Yeah. Sometimes you can just, especially if the bulk of your team is pretty solid and good, your loan signing or your next signing can come into that thing, not having to put a load of things right. And let's face it, Torquay at the moment are trying to sign players to put things right, which is a much bigger ask.
Down at Argyle, of course, we honed their their midfield ace for them, didn't we? Adam Randall is playing pretty well by the sound
there
of
you
it.
Go. Yeah, there and, you go. And young Ryan Law's getting in at Gillingham each week, I think. And you look around the league, you know, Sam Schering, Robbie Cundy scored for Barnsley in the Championship last week. Couple more that Josh Rees, and well, he's back in the day obviously, but you know what I mean, these youngsters that we've helped, we're all interested, aren't we? Armstrong has already got in at QPR a couple of times this season. I haven't seen Stephen Duke McKenna yet, have
Leighton
we in
Orient.
Their first team?
Yeah.
Oh, is he at Leighton,
at Leighton Orient?
Orient. Oh, I
yeah, yeah, he's gone. He's gone there on loan for the season,
right? And so is he getting in?
He's, I haven't looked.
No,
I must
no.
look. Couple of another couple of
yes,
good
course.
Things.
Yes,
another couple of good things that came from the Wealdstone game before we leave it. Another good performance by the keeper, Rhys Lovett.
I mean,
from again highlights, but he made some cracking saves, didn't he?
He's
really getting, he's getting a bit of a rhythm going, isn't he? He's getting a bit of a place in the
team. I think we saw in pre-season that we thought he looked pretty useful. So that's a plus. Mark Alcid has played very well when he's played this season.
Yeah. You feel for Mark, really, because he started as the starting goalkeeper, got himself injured, and now he's got to chisel Rhys Lovett out of the team somehow.
Yeah, and of course, in a goalkeeping situation, Rhys has probably got to make a mistake or two for him to get back in the team, which you don't want to happen.
No.
He's doing great. Look, let's face it, United got a 1-1 draw at Wealdstone, who are going very well. They've only lost once in 9 games and they're 6 in the table, without Dean Moxey in defence, which I thought was probably the plus of the day.
We have no news on Dean, by the way. Again, Gary will let us know at 5 to 3 on Saturday.
It's a groin issue with him.
But
another thing, I think we all know United have got a pretty serviceable defence. The defence isn't their main worry. And another thing is that each time young Ollie Tomlinson on loan from Plymouth has come into the defence, he's looked fine.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Gary hasn't loaned him out anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yes, because he's on loan anyway, isn't he? But he's increasingly part of the equation at the back there. He's only a young lad.
And as we've said before, the loan players that Gary brings in sometimes take a little while to get themselves into the team, and he's gradually, as you say, putting himself into the picture.
Well, each time he played in pre-season, I think we all thought, oh, he looks pretty grown up and solid. You know, in other words, he didn't look like a teenager.
Yeah.
And on the odd occasions he's come in the first team in the league so far, he's done okay. That was another plus.
And Ali Omar. First professional goal, first goal for Torquay.
Do you know when...
It was a long distance header. Well, it was on the line pretty much.
It was. When that first happened, somebody said, oh, that's his first goal for the club. And I thought, really? I thought, surely, I, in my mind's eye, I thought I had him bundling one in a home game a couple of years, but it was true, it was. He hadn't done.
Yeah. And if anybody deserved a goal for the club, for his enthusiasm, his 100% never say die.
Absolutely.
Great to see Ali get
I think
that
at
one.
The moment, if the season stopped now and you had a Player of the Year award, I still think Moxie would be ahead, but Ali Omar wouldn't be far behind. He's obviously very committed. His game has developed.
Yeah.
He's more grown up. He looks as a player. Yeah. I mean, not as a person.
And the fans love him. I mean, and the fans have appreciated seeing him develop his game, because obviously from the under 23s at Barnsley, it was a bit of a culture shock to come into the National League, but he's coped pretty well with it. And as you say, I mean, he's had a good start to the season.
Just like Dan Martin did came in last year. His return from fitness, I think, has been a big plus. His athleticism and his pace up and down the left-hand side. It's again, we're talking about two players who are very much part of the team now and good value for that.
Yeah.
A year on from when they first walked into the club out of an under-23 team. Kieran Evans, who I know everybody's been making a big fun, oh, he's played six first-team games at Cardiff City in the Championship, either on or off the bench and everything. And we all know that Cardiff do rate him. He's taken a few months few months to start to come to the party in the National League. You know, it's you're not going to get little popping off one touch, two touch moves because the lads in the National League maybe aren't quite as good a quality as they are in the Championship. So you have to do more of the hard graft in the National League and more of the nitty horrible stuff. You know,
the muck and nettles.
The muck and nettles of closing people down, forcing mistakes to get the ball rather than it coming to you and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so it's all part of bringing these lads through and improving them because we can't afford to go out and pay £2,000, £3,000 a week for players.
Now, Wrexham are 5-1 on.
Talkie 8-1 again.
10-1 you can get.
Oh, okay, 10-1.
I've gone on at 10-1.
Oh, I've only got eights. I've had a couple of quid at eights.
10-1 in a 2-horse race. Yeah. I thought I'll have
incredible.
A little bit of that.
I do look at these sort of things every now and again because I'm a bit sad like that. But I can't remember the last time I spotted an away team being 8-1 or 10-1 again. Yeah. Even Kings Lynn away to whoever it was.
Wouldn't that be nice? But I mean, you look at the game, and Gary's described it earlier this week as going into the cauldron. Wrexham have played at home. They've won all four of their games at home. They've scored 14 goals in the process. They've only lost once. Chesterfield beat them. Yeovil got a draw off them. That's it this season. They're scoring goals for a past time.
Southend last week, 0-0.
Yeah. They've managed to loan Jake Hyde out to Southend. He could have done a job for us, but there you go. Julian has been doing a bit of research for us. They have 27 players on their squad, 3 senior keepers, and then 8 players quite neatly in each department. 8 defenders, 8 midfielders, 8 forwards. They have cover.
Happy dressing room then?
Everywhere. Well, yeah, you kind of wonder, but, you know, I mean, that's... It's almost like, again, as Gary says, it's almost like cup ties, like going away to a League One or Championship side, isn't it?
I mean, with all of that comes... They have to go up.
They must.
I mean, nothing against Phil Parkinson, great bloke and a you know, good manager, no doubt. He has to get them up.
Yeah.
If they finish second this year, which wouldn't be a bad thing, because I still fancy Chesterfield to win it. Especially now Shimanga didn't go in the window. If they finish second and then get mugged in the playoffs, just like they did last year by Grimsby, will he keep his job? I hope he does for his sake, but and it won't have been a bad season for them. But this is what we're locked into in the National League at the moment. I'm a great believer that in order to free up a third promotion place, you have to go to the Football League, because that obviously involves the Football League.
Yeah.
You have to go to the Football League and say, right, we must have another one up. We can't carry on. It's killing clubs, it's killing budgets, it's killing ownership, investment, everything. The Football League aren't going to willingly, Football League clubs willingly give up another automatic relegation place. So how about having 2 straight up and 2 straight down? You then have the National League playoffs, and the survivor of those playoffs has a playoff match against the third from bottom in the football in League Two.
But that's how the playoffs
you
began.
You get a huge game out of it. Yeah. That's how this isn't rocket science.
And that's how they do it in Germany. They do it in Scotland as well.
I think they do. And yet, have we heard a peep of that sort of stuff out of either the National League or the Football League as a proposal? You know, and I just have no faith that the National League are really on this.
A league that has 2 promotion places and 4 relegation slots is a lopsided league anyway, isn't it?
That's right.
It needs sorting.
So you get a huge match out of it. The thing is decided on the pitch, where a lot of people would be happy about it, and the Football League, League 2, get a chance to protect that third from bottom slot. Yeah. I don't understand, unless someone comes along and tells me a good reason, what's wrong with that proposal and that setup. the Football League wouldn't be falling over themselves to do it, but surely if you kept up the pressure over a period of time, eventually you might stand a chance of getting a bit. And all of a sudden that would hugely improve things as far as the National League's concerned. So good luck to Wrexham this season, except on Saturday, because we're home to them on the last day of the season this year. But we've, you know, United have gone there before and got, you know, good results.
Yeah, we can do that.
Obviously, in slightly better times in terms of how the team was playing. I think it's one of those places where, in order to get a result, you have to go and score a goal or two.
Yeah.
That, I'm sure, is the biggest concern for Gary at the moment.
It's getting that second goal, isn't it? Which we've only done
once.
Well,
if we can get one.
Yeah, we get one.
That would be a plus.
Yeah.
But in other words, you don't go to the Wrexhams. It's a bit like, it was interesting, when Grimsby won there in that playoff, crazy playoff game, they won 5-4, I think it was, wasn't it, in the end. In other words, you don't go to Wrexham with 10,000 people behind them. By the way, they had a home gate the other day which was bigger than Bournemouth in the Premier League.
Did they really?
Is that the fifth level of English football has got a bigger gate than one of the Premier clubs. I mean, I know Bournemouth doesn't hold much more than 10,000, but still, there you are.
Yeah.
But you're not going to go to Wrexham and get a result, or not likely to, with a 0-0 or a 1-0. Yeah. You've got to go and get at least one, possibly two, and that's how Gary Johnson teams would always have tried to go to Wrexham, attack them, have a right go at them, you know, see if you can get a goal, put them under pressure, get the crowd, you know, So hopefully we can do that, and we'll see.
Let's see.
We'll see what happens.
Talking restructuring in the leagues, moving off Torquay United a bit. There's been a lot of talk this week about restructuring the Premier League teams. Dave, what do you? I wrote down how do we stop football going to hell in a handcart? But no replays up to round six. No European involved teams playing in the League Cup. I mean, this football is moving further and further away from the likes of you and me, isn't it?
Well, Gary's been talking about it in the column for our paper this week, but it's interesting that one of the people who very first started suggesting changes to the FA Cup rules and the League Cup rules was Arsene Wenger when he was at Man United.
Yeah,
now, great man,
Arsenal.
And I've got no beef with him particularly. He comes from a country where, one of the countries where the cup competitions means comparatively little. It wasn't long ago, and when you and I were in our callow youth, that the FA Cup final was the most important match in the season.
Quite.
It was not the League Championship. Not the League Championship.
No.
All right, that's all changed.
Yeah.
But still, in all our psyche, the FA Cup is still hugely important because of the way it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
And this business of the small clubs being able to cock a snook at the big clubs and have a chance of getting some benefit out of it is central to the way we see the FA Cup.
It's central to the way we see football.
And exactly. And replays are an integral part of that.
Yeah.
So should Torquay get to the third round of the FA Cup, which would be an event these days because we haven't done it for a while, and get Chelsea away, and it gets to 90 minutes at Stamford Bridge, and we've managed to hold on for a one-all draw or whatever it was, our only reward for that will be extra time and penalties.
Yeah.
It's good. It's or the other way around, get a draw at Plainmoor, and etc. Come on. You know, so even just financially, you're virtually saying that the message it sends out, this idea of no replays after the third round, which of course is when they come in, and it's all, and they're quoting, they're saying, oh, it's only because of the Champions League is going from 32 to 36 clubs, that means more games, we're under more pressure, etc., etc., etc.
Well, it's this huge bloated money pit of European football, isn't
again,
it? Europa League, Europa Conference, Champions League,
Nations League, which we're in at the moment because we have another stoppage.
Yeah.
All of these have been created, so this fixture pressure, which they keep talking about, oh my goodness, we're playing too many matches, it's been deliberately created. Yeah. It hasn't come along by accident and knocked everybody over the back of the head. Agencies and clubs have been actively do it trying to do this.
Yes, and this is naive stuff, but it's for money. It's to make money.
Money.
It's all about making money. Correct. It's just about making money.
And then when
for the big clubs.
When a small club has a chance of making some life changing money through an FA Cup replay,
mm-hmm.
they're saying, oh no,
we don't want to do that.
You can't have that. So
and the league sort of not playing in the you'd have. Six or eight teams not taking part in the League Cup, as if the League Cup didn't matter. Try telling Swindon fans the League Cup doesn't matter.
Well,
Norwich fans.
Of course, but and not only that, they already play their under-21 and under-23 teams in various cup competitions, including the FA Cup.
Yeah.
We've all seen Premier League teams putting out very weakened sides in the FA Cup. So they've got these vast squads of players, including all their talented under-21s. And they're already using these cup competitions to bring those players on.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that either. And you've come back to the central point in, it's not about developing players. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's about money.
Just as a payoff for that, did you see the story, the piece in The Guardian yesterday about Antoine Griezmann?
No.
He's at Atletico Madrid, isn't he? He's on loan from Barcelona. And he only plays the last half hour of games.
Yeah.
And people have been thinking, why do they keep? They brought him on in the last four games in the 62nd, 62nd, 63rd and 64th minute. And it's because, as you say, it doesn't trigger a payment. If he plays more than 40 minutes or thereabouts of a game, Atletico have to play Barcelona £8 squillion or something like that. So they don't even bring him on.
So you're saying to Simeone, you can't play one of your best players.
Yeah. One of the best players in Europe. Correct. Let's be honest.
Because we've entered into an agreement which completely stuffs you.
Yeah.
And I think back to Chris Hargreaves, bless him, when he was our manager and trying to keep us in the league. And we had a lad called Shaquille Coulthurst on loan from Spurs.
Yeah.
And the agreement with Spurs was, because he was 19 years old or whatever it was, and they wanted to look after the lad, that he was only allowed to play for 75, 80 minutes, and he had to take him off. That was part of the private agreement with Spurs. And Chris got absolutely tanked at Playmore one night when we were a hugely important game, I forget who was against, at home. And he took him off as per the agreement, because we were paying part of his wages, Spurs were paying part of his wages, like all these loan agreements. Yeah. He got absolutely slaughtered by the crowd. What are you doing taking him off? You know, he's been our best player. But of course, Chris couldn't come out at the time and say, you know, well, it's because Spurs won't let him play for 90 minutes.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and we played at the penultimate game of that season was at Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaquille had really got into it, you know, along with quite a few other. Bailey Cargill was playing then.
Yeah.
Shamir Fenelon at the time on the wing. Shamir Goodwin, he was called then, wasn't he? And we were trying to stay in the league. We went to Mansfield in the penultimate match. Beat them 3-1. It could have been 5 or 6. Shaquille, really good, and he got an injury. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to come off because he scored one, and he wanted to try and get another one. And he said, "Oh, I'll carry on." Chris eventually took him off about when we were fairly certain to win. he came home. He had a phone call from Spurs on the Monday or Tuesday morning. What's going on? You were supposed to take him off after 75 minutes. He's injured now. He's going to be out for a fortnight. And Chris is going, well, first of all, Shaquille assured us he was okay. Secondly, we're trying to stay in the Football League here. And substitute for Simeone, Chris Hargreaves on weird agreements that have been taken above your head. And I'll always remember that season, just to finish. We beat Mansfield in the penultimate match of that season, 3-1. We went down that day anyway because of other results, and we were home to Wickham on the last day.
Yes, I remember that one.
And the other team in trouble with us was Bristol Rovers. And Bristol Rovers, on the last day of the season, were home to Mansfield. And they needed to win to stay up in the Football League. And I was telling everybody who would listen, get on Bristol Rovers, packed Mem. Mm. There's no way Mansfield are going to go. The Mansfield we saw last Saturday, there's no way. They were in the middle of the table, nothing much to play for. Result, Bristol Rovers 0, Mansfield 1. They defended like their lives depended on it. Bristol Rovers lost and went down. To this day, I've never been able to get my head around that result.
And wasn't that the only time of the season that Bristol Rovers were in the bottom two?
It may well
was
have
in
been.
The last 10 minutes of that game.
Of that match.
Yeah. And they came down with us.
And so, you know, I've always thought back to that and said, well, if anybody thinks I've got a bloody clue what they're talking about, most things in terms of predictions, you know, you never ever know. There's no way the Mansfield that we beat could possibly go to Bristol Rovers on the last day of that season and get a result. They did.
I'm going to finish off today, Dave, with a story that I read online. It's dangerous picking up stories online, but it's about Neil Warnock. So I kind of think it might be true. He's out on the speaking circuit now, isn't he?
Yes.
He's doing. I'll bet he's good. I would like to go and see.
Last time I spoke to him, he was setting up a big do at the Plymouth Pavilions. I think was one of the dates that he had lined up.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
But there was a story going around. I can't remember which club it was now, but one of the players was saying he always remembers the day when Neil Warnock took them all 10-pin bowling for a bit of a team building exercise.
It was some other club. Right.
And he took them 10-pin bowling, team building exercise. He persuaded them to each put a tenner in the pot. Winner takes all on this. So they all gradually put their tenners in. And only after they'd put their tenners in did he unzip his bag to find a custom polished bowling ball and his own customised shoes. And he went on to wipe the floor with the lot of them. Now, I love that story. I hope it's true. If it isn't true, Neil, please come on and tell us it isn't. But I really hope that's true. It's a good Neil Warnock yarn, isn't it?
Yeah, telling me. One of the most competitive people I've ever met in my life, on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
Great man, and what an extraordinary job he did.
Yeah,
in keeping us in the league when he came in for those memorable 6 months.
He absolutely did. And when he came in, we were in a very similar position to where we are.
We were worse off then, in terms of the league. The two managers, apart from Stuart Morgan back in the day, who were responsible for the two greatest escapes in my memory, Kevin Nicholson, well done a couple of times was Neil Warnock in 93. And Ian Atkins in 96.
Yeah.
Absolutely no right to stay up in either case, and they both managed to do it.
But it can be done, and Gary's going to do it. I'm sure he's going to do it. There you go.
Quite right.
A positive note to end on, and a lovely story about Neil Warnock. I might be sued. I might not be here next week.
I doubt it.
It has a ring of truth about it, doesn't it?
Pardon.
Dave, thanks for joining us. Richard, hope you feel better soon.
Pleasure.
Dave, hope you feel better soon.
I'll be all right.
You'll be fine. And we finish as ever. Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows.